Good evening to all of you. This evening is going to be an evening where it is going to be interactive, and I've asked the usher to be available with the mic. If you have something you'd like to share, I'd like to everybody to hear it plain, and we'll make sure that the mic is ready for you. So about 6 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, I was asked to have a topic, and a title wasn't assigned, and so I thought, well, that should be easier, but the closer it got to the time when I was supposed to have it, actually the harder it became, because it's hard to know what is relevant, and as a default, I sort of think about the things that I'm pondering in my life right now. I'm 45, and statistically, there is a greater past to me than there will be a future. Okay? Now, so, but we're also, as Christians, we are required to live in the present. There is an argument that says that there are only two. It isn't past, present, and future. It's the immediate future and the recent past. So, you know, depending how technical you'd want to get, you could say so, because all of us, all of us made history today. And I'm going to be interchanging history and past together. So, how do we look at the past? And as Christians, we have to be careful that we aren't Christians with bad memories. And I'd like to just look a little bit at, just as an example, to set up how critical it is to remember the past. And I would propose that a short memory is a dangerous memory. If you look at the children of Israel, how long did it take for them to forget the deliverance, the blessings that they received? How soon were they grumbling? It was really short after all these blessings. And we tend to think, you know, wow, they're really a special people that just really had a bad memory. But, you know, we can easily fall into that exact same trap. And in I'd like to just read a verse out of Psalms 106:7. This is the NIV, but it says, "When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." So, I would like to think about history and about the past. And one thing that really came to light was, I think we have to remember that history is part of an education. And because if we look at history, if we look at the past, there is a certain development that comes to notice. And it really helps it really helps to understand the continuity of time when we look past. And so what we see, if we study the past, if we study past history, we see development of societies, we see development of cultures, we see development of monetary system, we see development of automobiles. There's a lot of things that we see. And I would say it was a month ago, maybe, I think, we as men sat over here, and we discussed some things, and we discussed some things about the history of this church. And it just reminded me that the past is a really good way to make sense out of the present. So that was really important for me to think about that, is when we look back and we see developments, we see changes, it tends to make more sense to us. And, you know, there's a couple of ways that are very powerful in my mind, how we remember the past and how we deal with history. I never knew of such thing as keeping a journal until I married Rose. And, you know, every night we write down the day's happenings. And it's interesting to go back and read those. Photos is another way that are powerful reminders of our past. So let's talk a little bit about history and here is or past and here's where you get to interact here. If I would say, and I've already sort of laid it out, but I want to hear from you. If I would say that there is no value into looking into the past, and this can be personal, it can be of your Christian faith, what would you say if I just simply made a blanket statement that there is no value in looking into the past? What would be your first reaction? Harvey.
There's a song that goes, "Be Still My Soul." And there's a second verse there that says, "He guides the future as he has the past." That is a tremendous consolation to me, that God will take care of me in the future, take care of things as he had in the past, because I can put my finger on things. Here he guided and here he led, and have the consolation that he will continue to do this.
When I heard what the topic was to be, it was a real encouragement to me, because I think that our memories are flawed. I have made the comment that one of the features of aging is that the memory can get longer and shorter at the same time. And I'm glad that Henry came tonight, because then I'm not the oldest one here. But I am impressed that it's difficult for us, perhaps younger people especially, to think in terms of the past, because they've arrived on the scene, and it would seem helpful if they could just sort of revise things, remake them. And I think that is, in a way, commendable, but in a way also short-sighted. I think we should be reminded that God has provided Bible history and some other history that we do well to be aware of. And now we have some history here in Reno County, Kansas. And I'm going to call attention to two books that I think are pertinent to this subject and topic. And one was written by a native son from this community, Irvin R. Stutzman. And the title of the book is The Mennonite Church Transition from Christian Non-Resistance to a Peace and Justice Emphasis. It's not a quick read, but it's not a difficult read. And I would recommend that as a book. The other is written by a Nathan Yoder, not the John C.'s Nathan that we know, but he has written a history of Conservative Mennonite Conference. And I think it's important for us to ask, where do we want to go? And where do we want to end up? After all, this is fairly recent history, and I would just make this appeal that we are realistic and teachable in terms of history.
In response to your statement, Mark, I would say God's people over and over again got into trouble, fell into sin when they forgot what God had done for them. And in fact, God asked them repeatedly, or told them repeatedly, after a major event, make a monument so that you don't forget.
Just this brief add on that God's word does not need updating. And I think it's important for us to remember that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, if you place no value in history or the past, then you really don't know where you're going either.
Yeah. Right. Anybody else want to add a comment? Well, since we, basically, I think we all agree that it is important to know and to be aware of the past. But I'd like to also know from you, what are some big lessons that you have observed or you yourself have learned from the past? I'll just give a brief one of mine, and this is more general life, but it did remind me, we still talk about sometimes, but when we were young, married, I think we had Heather and, I don't know if Rainy and Bo were born yet even, but I had my brother over and our family, and one of the children was crying, and you know, one of my brothers, he would just get perturbed, and he just couldn't understand, why don't you just make that child be quiet? And you know, as I grow older, I look back, and it is sort of funny, but in another sense, what was really powerful to me was to simply understand that there are times when I'd like to, I don't know if it'd be casting judgment, but I'd like to make a statement about something that I really probably have no business talking about. You know, and me and my brother, we've talked about it one time when his child was, you know, crying uncontrollably. And we revisited the past a little bit. You know, I mean, I just couldn't help. We have good memories for those things. But anyways, so that's just personal. But I'd like to hear from you. I'm sure some of you have some really powerful stories about what you've learned and what you've observed from things in the past. We have a brave person.
About 30 years ago, when I was working at Faith Mission, we had the home was sued, and we were afraid we were going to have to be closed, and things looked pretty dismal. And when I look back at that, I thought, well, why did I question whether this would all work out okay? It's so much easier, for obvious reasons, to look back and see that it did work out okay, but it does give me faith for things in the future to know that God does work things out for his glory.
I've discovered that it really is helpful to do something a second time. When I left New York, I really kind of considered my experience there to have been, well, I wouldn't have dared call it a waste, but it did kind of feel like that. I learned a lot of lessons, but I learned them too late to really do any good, it seemed like. And of course, at the time, I could not have imagined that I would be getting back into the education scene. And now in the last number of years, I have been able to make use of some of the lessons that I learned there. And so, for me, the ability to remember that has been an important thing. And I should just add that it's a little bit like correcting a child. Pain is a great a great way to imprint the memory. Sometimes that's actually a negative, but in this case, some of the lessons that I learned were painful, and those are probably the ones that have stuck the best.
There's a great quote that I just happened to see, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, inside of a cardboard box, and I read it, and it's just stuck with me. And that is that success or failure are never final. And that's one thing that I've sort of remembered when I see people who think that maybe they've been successful and maybe want to live like that, or people who think that, you know, what they've done, they've failed. It isn't final. Anybody else would like to give a... Daryl.
I am thinking back to a time right after I got back from Faith Mission. I went back to Indiana, where I lived at the time, and I spent about a year and a half working on a lawn care crew, which I had been doing before I went to Faith Mission. And that was a year of extreme restlessness in my life, because I felt this sense of life is more than just about working and making money. That I had just recently had a really powerful experience of serving and of giving my time for something bigger than myself. And this was just not, I was not feeling comfortable where I was at. So I spent about a year praying a lot about my future and what it would look like. Well, finally the answer came when Larry Beiler called me and asked me to come teach out here. And I thought it was an unlikely answer, and yet there was there was part of me that thought this sounded like a neat idea. So I did come, and I taught, and I grew a lot during the experience. I look back on that now, especially as Karen and I are in some ways in a similar state. We feel like we know that we're supposed to be going to Turkey at some point, but we're just waiting and waiting. And I want to remember this past because of how it will shape my future, and realize that this is an important part of my future. This is necessary.
I often think of something that I've heard Grandpa say on numerous occasions, and I don't remember exactly how he says it, but it's in the context of financial losses. And, you know, how we sort of grumble about those things. And he's said something to the effect that, you know, it wasn't that bad a deal if you value the education highly enough. And you know, I think about those things because, like most of you, we have these opportunities to either try to forget something happened and move on as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. or learn from them.
That's right.
And still move on.
Yeah, it's very good. Gary.
I was in Dallas once taking a week's training in connection with teaching, and enjoyed some of the snippets of wisdom on the sugar packets in the restaurant there. The one that sticks is that experience is a wonderful thing. It helps you recognize a mistake when you make it again. Well, that's the value of that, to help us think that, you know, really there are a lot of things that we do learn as we go through these experiences. And probably a second and third time helps cement it on in. Somehow Linda Rose jogged my memory when she talked about the Faith Mission trial, because I was serving on as chairman of the joint board that oversaw Faith Mission and Fellowship Haven back in the 80s. And in that time, we had struggles. We wrestled with how do we respond and decision-making. And I grew a lot in that time with brothers of like faith. And as I look back, I don't look back thinking that everything that we did worked out according to the highest of our ideals, as I think of those two cases. But I still treasure the way that God worked in on board level, and there have been many times since that those lessons have been valuable for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And I know for a fact that as I look at the front benches here, I hope that these things that you're hearing, while it may be sometimes hard to understand, but life is going to have some interesting lessons for you as well. And I hope this wisdom that you're hearing from the backside, that you'll entertain those. Is there anybody else that would like to say something? We still have present and future to talk about. But I don't want to cut anybody off about lessons. Yes, and that includes you here on the third and fourth bench, but you as well. So, all right. Well, we need to sort of move into the middle one here, the present. And I have a quote here from Leonardo da Vinci that I think I'll lead off with. Follow me closely here. The water you touch in a river is the last of that which has passed and the first of that which is coming. Thus it is with time present. Well, the present. You know, I have long sort of heard these two ideas about, I think I can say they're ideas about the present. And on one side, I hear people saying that, you know, if let's just go to heaven today, okay? They and I'll just say that they're just for the sake of clarity, we'll just call them the heaven people, okay? Like, right now, let's just go to heaven. We just, you know, it would have been best if God would have came yesterday and taken his people home. And then I hear other people who are deeply involved in maybe mission, in discipling, in mentoring. And, you know, those people then sometimes they have great hope for what's ahead here. Like, you know, today I met with a person and I hope he accepts Christ. And we understand, I mean, side note, but hope is risky, but to hope is risky, but still I've often sort of wondered, is there danger, if we live in the present here, can our focus be too much or too little on the present? So, you know, some people want heaven right away. Some people want a little more life. And is there a way that we as Christians, we can be where we are today and we are fulfilled? We do have a sense of looking forward to that time and yet finding God's divine purpose and meaning, being kingdom builders today, and we look forward to it tomorrow. So I, you know, and I had to ask myself, well, was Jesus an adequate example of this? So what say you? Nathan, and then Gary.
You asked about Jesus. I think we don't see Jesus just crying out to God to let the crucifixion part come right now. You know, he took each day what was before him, and I think for my this harks a little bit what you were saying earlier too, the how we look at the past and how we look at the present affects each other. But the there's the, you in a is general, obviously generalizing, but I think there's the tendency on the one hand to be so excited about what's going on and what I'm doing that, you know, we want to be doing this for another 20 years yet, and what all I can accomplish, or everything can look so big that I'm not sure I'm going to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so, and then that's where it's so important to live our lives in the light of who God is. I was just reminded recently, I went on a walk and saw the stars, and you know, you see the greatness of God, and that takes care of both of those. It reminds you how small you are. But then you think about the fact of how personally God cares about us. It humbles you. It just gives you courage too. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that, yeah. I think we're all going to have tendencies towards certain ditches at different times, but it's when we come and stand before God, it helps us live the present the way it honored, in a way that honors Him.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing, go ahead, Pastor Mike, to Gary. One thing I think that we have to remember, as you said, is, well, we as Christians, you know, we look forward to eternity, but, and I think I'm right in saying that, you know, I for a long time have thought of eternity as this this time frame that is to come, but my life today, my life yesterday, and my life tomorrow, if it doesn't exude an awareness of eternity, then I should realign some things in my life, because I think we do ourselves harm if we just think about it as being out there. Today, we need to live as, because eternity is coming. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, you're doing a good job at sparking discussion and asking good questions and leading us here. My first thought, as you asked this last question about maybe being too otherworldly-minded, or whatever you said, was a quote that I have pondered often, that he who lives in the past or the future will tend to loaf in the present. And this now, especially when we start with the first half of living in the past, this is the other extreme of one who says the past is not important at all. And that person would tend to be rudderless or without foundation and unstable, I think, compared to what God would have for us to be. And then the other is, if we live so much in dreamland of the future, that limits us today too. However, if we look to the past and let it guide us, let it be the security, the foundation, and we look to the future and let that hope of the future be something of the lead in to the present, or something that informs the present so that we are productive in this time, I think we reach some of God's ideal.
Mm-hmm. You use the term eternity several times, and you used them right. I think it does me good to remember that I am actually living in eternity right now. It just happens to be we call it the present, but it is a part of eternity past and eternity future, but it is eternity present. One of the quotes that has helped me sort of maintain a bit of a balance in the present and the future is one that says something like this, that we ought to live as though the Lord would return tomorrow, and build as though he would be, as though we'd be here for 100 years.
Some of your thoughts at the last there were kind of where my thoughts were going. One of my favorite songs is "I Thank Thee, Lord." The last two verses: "I thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast kept the best in store. We have enough, yet not too much to long for more." help, a yearning for a deeper peace not known before. Mm-hmm. Thank thee, Lord, that here our souls, though richly blessed, can never find, although they seek, a perfect rest, nor ever will until we lean on Jesus' breast. Life is beautiful and life is hard. Work is satisfying and work is hard. And, you know, the things to not live in the future, to not realize that we're living in an ecosystem that we as spiritual beings were not built for. We don't fit. We have to live in the present in that awareness.
John.
One thing, if I can figure out how to turn this mic on. But one thing I was thinking about the present is that song went through my mind. We have this moment, you know, and I don't know if I can remember, but as it slips through our fingers like sand. And so we don't have a promise for tomorrow, but we have promise for today. So I was just thinking, you know, often we think we want to do something in a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, but we don't know. So, you know, I was thinking I'd like to get together with my friends or spend more time with my children or whatever. So maybe the time to do it's now, before it's too late.
Good thought. Lowell?
Not quite sure how I can put to words the thoughts that are going through my mind. It seems to me that we can focus on the future in a way a little bit like Gary was saying. We can be dwelling in the past or focusing in the future and kind of forgetting about today. You were asking about how did he occupy those things? Scriptures say, how is it that he finished the work that thou gavest, that his father gave him to do? And I think there's a sense when we're about the kingdom work that maybe we're not so terribly preoccupied about the past or about the future. I've been amazed already where I've been maybe involved in work thousands and thousands of miles away, and how you can be so plugged into that thing when you're there, like our minds and all of our focus is there. And you go to another place and your focus can quickly change to the other place. And I think that wherever we are, we should be engaged in the Lord's work, and we're even made that way that it's easy for us to be plugged in where we are. And I think with some of the modern media, it feels like some people's lives consist of how will this look on Facebook or somewhere like that. And I think if we're about the Lord's work, that doesn't really have to affect us too much, past, present, or in the press or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say? It is tempting. It is tempting, and it's sort of a, I don't know, cliche. I don't know. It's living in the moment, you know, you know, another one is living for the moment. And I think sometimes it's easy. I think there can be a difference living for the moment, and I think that kind of thinking or mindset, living for a moment, is that it includes yesterday and it's looking forward to tomorrow. And when we find ourselves living in the moment, that doesn't include yesterday. It doesn't include tomorrow. It includes my time right now. It's realizing that right now is that I'm supposed to be about God's work. It's not we don't have only certain days or certain times where we're supposed to be kingdom builders. It is this moment, in this moment, we're supposed to be active. Well, we have to talk about the future for a few minutes here. What do we as Christians do with the future? You know, it's easy. it's easy for me to worry about the future. And I used to, I was always puzzled why my mother would sometimes say how she didn't sleep well and she worried. And, you know, when you're young and you don't have that many responsibilities, worry doesn't come about as much. But the older I get, the more responsibilities I have, you know, I have that tendency to worry about the future. And I sometimes puzzle, I'm puzzled if a Christian should worry about the future. I mean, I think Jesus gives us a great example. In Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Don't be anxious about tomorrow." And in the same sermon, it is in Matthew 7 then, he also reminds us about the foolish man who, for some reason, lacked the foresight to put a good foundation under his house. He didn't look forward, he didn't plan forward. So I think that, I mean, Jesus wants us, and it is God's intention, that we do somewhat blend, that we sort of blend this together. We don't worry, and yet we plan. But, you know, sometimes we get those confused, and we just worry, and we don't plan. And I think that's not the way that God intended for us to live. So I mean one of the questions basically is should Christians be concerned about the future? In what way should we be concerned about? What are the issues we should be concerned about? As I look at it, even farther back there is a generation that is going to be, you know, as we do here at this church, they start here, then they come here, they move back, and then they go way back, and they work their way forward. And, you know, this side too. But, you know, to me sometimes, I think that this is where our future, this is the big part of the future that we should be concerned about, is the people who are actually going to make up this future. These people who, if the Lord doesn't return, will be here when I'm no longer here, when you're no longer here. But for some reason, we're tempted to put a lot of energy into other things of life. And we neglect maybe the most important part of the coming future. So, I'd like to hear from you about what are those things that we should be concerned about that we know are going to be coming in the future, and things that we don't know. Should we be concerned about those? Should we plan? I have a good friend. He has adequate supply of monetary funds. And yet, he tends to be a prepper. He got himself a hand pump, water pump, and he's making plans maybe to purchase some land, Central America. I don't know. It seems extreme to me, but maybe that's what we should all be doing. Marvin.
One thing we should not be worrying about is growing older. A couple weeks ago, I jotted down this quote. It says, "One day we'll look back and wonder why we were so afraid to grow old when every day brought us one day closer to being in heaven with Christ."
David. Or, sorry, it's the other David. There's a few, Dave. David Yoder.
Well, you asked about what should we worry about, what shouldn't we worry about. And remember, it reminded me of a memory I had just a couple days ago of probably 45, no, more than, like 50 years ago. Back in the days when we were fearful of what would happen with the international conflict between Russia and the United States. And most of you probably won't believe this, except for those of you my age and maybe a little older. This church house was at one time marked as a bomb shelter, the basement here. I don't know how many remember that. I think, if I remember right, the sign was a sort of a yellow triangular-shaped sign that the government had placed here as a reminder that this is a place you can take refuge because we have a good concrete floor. But the memory I think of is now one that I say, why did we worry about it? Why did we bother with it? But it's applicable to today. That was back in the days when we wondered, will we sometimes be deprived of our Bibles? And my mother had a Bible that was well worn and probably thoroughly torn. But I remember she gave it to me, and she said, please go bury this Bible somewhere. And so I took a shovel. She wrapped it in a plastic bag for me. And I took a shovel and headed out. And somewhere in the neighborhood of the trailer where Marvin and Marissa now live, in that fence road, there is a Bible buried. I don't think I could find it anymore. But the reason I say that is because today, you know, we're not really worried about that. And we wouldn't have had to have been worried back then. And yet it was something that was current. We can take the same attitude toward the things that the international conflicts that surround us today. I'm not saying that what I did was unwise or what my mother had me do was unwise. But I'm looking back and I'm saying, you know, that really, I wish I could find that Bible. Maybe one of these times I'll just go do a dig for the fun of it to see if I can find it. But if I got desperate for the Word and couldn't have my own, I think I would go looking. But may God help us to really bother ourselves about the things that are current and not about the things that might happen. Mm-hmm.
I've heard say that 90% of the things that we worry about never come to pass anyhow. And if we're ready to go, God is still going to be on the throne until that time. So,
see, that's why I worry about everything, because, you know, Gary...
I developed a pretty close friendship and respect for a fellow teacher at Calvary Bible School in the last 15 years. And one day he said to me, in acknowledgement that he tends to be a pessimist, he gave me this quote that hasn't left me yet. He said, life is full of pleasant surprises for a pessimist because they often do not turn out as bad as he thinks.
One thing about the future, I think, well, it's clear enough that we don't want to just live in a vacuum and say today is all that counts. We want to be aware of what is going on. Mm-hmm. So I think when you think about future, I think it's important to think about what is important in the future. And I think of vision casting. What is my vision? Having the kind of vision that God has for His people. And because if we get too involved in building out a plan for our lives, then there's not the flexibility there. If something comes up, something important comes up, well, you know, if one piece falls out of place, then we're stuck. But if we have the kind of vision that God has cast for us in more of a general sense, and then it doesn't matter if circumstances change, that same vision remains. Mm-hmm. And the same is true, I think, for like current events that happen. If needs come up, I think of, you know, current crises like in Europe, for example, the refugees. So if all the Christians in the world have their plans all made for the next 10 years, what about this opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ, to show God's love, to reach them with the gospel? You know, that's one example. There could be so many that would be more local. But that we have the kind of vision that will adapt itself to meeting the kind of the opportunities that God brings our way, even if they don't fit what we thought might have been part of our larger picture a year ago.
Well, time has just flown by quite a bit more rapidly than I anticipated. You know, I'll leave you with this thought. And as I think of how often God in the Old Testament, he would say, you know, I am the God of Abraham. And he would go down to the generations. And, you know, we have maybe three, maybe four generations. Maybe there's some five generations here. I'm not sure. But he's still that same God. He knows the past. And he's with us today. And the God of your grandpa and the God of your grandpa, he is the same God that's going to be with us in the future as well. And I ponder time. And I, you know, I've always, for a long time, I've been just mindful of the past and the present and the future, and how to live out those three in a way that is the way God intended for Mark, for you to live that out. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for your thoughts. We'll have a song. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Let's all stand. Dear Lord, help each one of us to consider how we live our lives that is reflective of your perfect will. Help us to be discerning and looking in the past and to seeing how you moved and how that trusting you is the best way. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for the examples of people, of Bible characters, who are so powerfully speak to us today through your word, of their faithfulness, of your faithfulness. Lead us and guide us as we live for you, and may our lives be a blessing to all that we meet. Guide us and direct us as we leave this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.